Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. All right, the lesson has to do now with Elisha and this leper Naaman. It's a very familiar story. I'm sure everyone in here knows the details of it. We'll be going into it here in a minute. Before we get started, let's pray and ask the Lord. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom now to know how to study your word and how, Lord, we can apply it in our own lives. And Lord, how that we can profit now from the admonitions and the instructions and everything in your word, Lord, for a blessing and for our benefit. Now I pray, Father, we might take full advantage of what you've given us. Now bless, Lord, in our Sunday school class, be with the other classes. Bless Brother Leslie now as he'll be preaching to us this morning. Fill him with thy spirit, Lord. Bless Brother Jody there as he's in Florida, in a revival. Bless him, and may, Lord, he have good success there. Help us, Father, I pray now, in every aspect of our life, our homes, our work, here at church, wherever we might be, to always, Lord, keep our attention focused on thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, much of the Bible, I'd say, I don't know, 95% of it has to do with the nation of Israel. There's no doubt now that the predominant theme here in the Word of God is the Lord's relationship now with the nation of Israel. However, the Lord is concerned with all nations and all peoples. He's as concerned about the Gentiles as he is about the Israelites. The Bible is mainly dealing with the nation of Israel, and so we get used to that. But, of course, the Lord's dealing with us today in a very special way. So, now, it's a mistake to think that we're English-speaking peoples. We have the King James Version of the Bible, and as far as I know, there's not another translation on the face of the earth that even comes close now to the King James. I don't know what they use in France. I don't know what they use in China or any place like that. But the English-speaking peoples now, we're not set apart because of our nationalities. The Lord, He's concerned for all nations upon the face of the earth now. However, now, the vast majority of the world's population of all nations have rejected the Lord. Dr. Terry sent a copy of an article from the Hindus in India. I had it with me, but one statement in there, he said, the fellow that's operating now, this is the head of a Hindu organization that wants to do away with Christianity in India. And he was lamenting the fact that so many people are being saved and becoming Christians there in India. And he had several things there. But one of the things was he was instructing now the young Hindu men to gang rape Christian young girls to destroy their minds and their soul. And there were 8 or 10 different instructions he was given. Put poison in the water systems going into Christian communities. And it just went on and on like that. So the world now is hostile towards the Lord and anyone that names the name of the Lord. Now, so apparently they're making an impact there in India, although it's still, the percent of Christians is still very small. Does the United States today, do we qualify as a Christian nation? Now, one time, there's no doubt about it, we were a Christian nation. Is that still true today? Now, if we had an impartial jury, let's say Martians come here and they set up a court, to examine the situation, would there be enough evidence now for the United States to qualify as a Christian nation? I hope there would be. At one time there was. But today, everything we grew up with and all these things that we just took for granted and the foundations of our nation and everything, it was based upon the Word of God and upon the Lord. But today, I don't know if we could find enough evidence now across the United States where we could say, well, we're a predominantly a Christian nation. Now, with that in mind, our duty now is very clear here. What are we going to do about it? Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So what can you and I do now in this age, this godless, perverted generation that we're living in? What can we do? Just keep on witnessing. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on reading His Word. Keep on inviting people to come to the Lord. Keep on witnessing. Now, it's very clear now as individuals and as a church what our responsibility is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, now the lesson today is concerning with Elisha and this man Naaman, who was a leper. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now you say, would the Lord, is he concerned about the people in Syria? Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Yes, he's concerned about Syria. He's concerned about all these nations. I mean, he's concerned about Washington County. Now, he's not too pleased with what's going on in Washington County. In fact, he's not pleased at all, or Sullivan County, or any of these places. You just stop and think now where we were 30 years ago or 50 years ago and where we are today. Now, our ancestors, if you brought somebody back, that some preacher or somebody that died 50 years ago and brought him in here now, what do you think about everything today? He'd be horrified about what's going on here today. So we've got a responsibility here now, and we've got some work to do. Now, so Naaman then was a Gentile, and the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Syria is a Gentile nation. So the Lord is dealing now with all these nations. He's dealing with China and Russia and everywhere you go. When we started going into Russia, now we were educated here to think that the Russians were all just communist, atheistic, and so forth. But when we got over there and found out there were a lot of good, solid Christians living in those places that went through all of the persecution and the trouble and so forth that we used to read about. And there was always a remnant there. And I think in every nation, everywhere we go on the face of the earth, we could find a remnant now of Christianity. So go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, and he was a leper. Now, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, now a little girl here, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She's a little slave girl. Now, we don't know if she's 8 years old or 10 years old or 17 years old. Just a little maid, which would indicate, you know, she was not yet mature. And she was a servant now to Naaman's wife. In verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, now this, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now here's this little girl, 10, 12, 13, so just a young girl. And she knew about Elisha, the prophet that is in Samaria. Now Samaria just directly south of where all this is going on. For he would recover him of his leprosy. Now, God has witnesses like this all over the world. In every nation, everywhere we go, you can find a witness now. And so this little girl said, would God, my Lord, now were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Now think about this situation. None of these leaders would pay any attention to a little slave girl. Can you imagine, say, if a 12-year-old girl happened, was unfortunate enough to be in Washington, D.C., and walking up and down the halls of those congressional offices there, would anybody pay the least of, well, they'd pay enough attention to her to try to get a guard to put her out or whatever. But would our congressman be interested in what a little girl had to say? Why, no. They're not interested in anything you have to say either, by the way. You can voice your opinion to them, and they might be polite and all like that, but they're not concerned about what your opinion is about anything. They've got their own agenda, and it is not the Lord's agenda, all right? Now, so none of these leaders now in Syria would pay any attention to a little slave girl. Now I'll read this for you. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The way the Bible is integrated together, it had to be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit now to produce this book. Isaiah 11, 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. We need a little child in Washington, D.C. that knows the Lord. Now, a 12-year-old that knows the Lord is far superior to a 62-year-old heathen who's only concerned with lining their own pockets or whatever agenda they got going here. And a little child shall lead them. So that's the situation here. Now, a little child is leading these people here now in this lesson we're talking about today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. See, now all this pride and arrogancy and make no mistake about it, those people in Washington, they're so arrogant, it's pitiful. Now I'm talking about the House, the Senate and the House and all the civil service and so forth. They're very arrogant people who, whatever their agenda is, it is not to our good. They're not trying to figure out, well, how can I make the United States what it once was? How can we bless our people? They've got another agenda. All right, now, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So now this little slave girl here in Syria fits right into this. She's weak. She has no power. Nobody's going to pay any attention to her, but the Lord's using her now. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In verse 28, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And then he continued on verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ Jesus makes all the difference in the universe. I started to say the world, but it's all the difference. Being in Christ Jesus. All right, you say, well, okay, well, we've been to college. We've got we got our bachelor's degree in liberal arts. We got a master's degree in something or other, and a doctor's degree, and on and on and on. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. Now, we don't need the wisdom coming out of these universities today. Whatever it is, we don't need it. And righteousness, and we need the righteousness of God. Sanctification, being set apart from the world, and set apart from sin, and redemption. Praise God for redemption. Now, here we were born into this world and growing up around all the sin and wickedness that goes on around here and everywhere else in the world. And God reached down from heaven and touched our hearts some way or another. And he brought us out of that. And we were born again. And he is now made unto us wisdom. Now, I don't have enough wisdom to get in and out of the rain. Really, I don't. And if you don't believe me, ask me why. But I have the wisdom of God in his word, so I can make wise decisions based upon his word. Now, apart from his word, there's no hope for us. Wisdom, righteousness. Well, you know, I'm pretty good. I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't chew and go with girls that do. I'm not. Listen, we are wicked sinners in ourselves. But the Lord God in heaven now, he reached down and he touched our hearts. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom. Now, we don't have any wisdom of our own. Where does our wisdom come from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. From the Word of God. And righteousness. Now, you say, well, I'm a pretty good fellow. If you think you're a pretty good fellow, then you missed the point of all this thing here. We are not pretty good fellows. We're just saved and sanctified and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And God is our wisdom. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. Everything depends upon the Lord. Nothing good in us that we can bring forth here. In verse 31 now, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, if there's any good thing now in us, it's to talk about the Lord. It's to live in harmony and peace now with the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit of God guide and direct and lead us now. Put away our own foolishness and our own wisdom, such as it is, and follow what the Word of God said to us. Follow the leadership now of the Holy Spirit of God. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5 again now. Now remember, a little child shall lead them. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. Now Naaman has got the leprosy. There's a few of us that have seen leprosy. And it's the most horrible thing you can ever see. And Brother Stephen, and anybody else that's been over in Asia, in Bangkok, Thailand, they take a leper and lay him out on the sidewalk. And that leper, one fellow I remember, he was just laying prostrate face down on the sidewalk and had a little cup there by him, and people would drop coins in the cup. And then I watched this. I backed off and I put some money in there and watched off. And then here come a fellow from across the street and took the cup and took the money out of it. And so they'd bring that leper out there and lay him down on the street and leave him laying there all day out in the hot sun on that concrete and just trying to make money off of him. One time I was walking through a park. You went from one part of the town to the other. This is in Burma. No, he's in Thailand. He's in Mesot, the little town there out on the border. And I was walking through this park, and here was a leper. He was all drawn up, and his fingers were gone. His nose was gone. And he was in the last stages. And I stopped, and he couldn't understand English, but I had a tract written in his language. And I put my hand on his head. He said, untouchable. You don't touch lepers. And I felt leadership now to put my hand on that leper's head, and I kneeled down there beside him and prayed for him. I don't know if he understands the thing I said or not, but I gave him some money, and when I got up to leave, he looked up at me and smiled. Now he didn't have anything to smile about. I'm sure he's long gone on now, but I've seen this thing firsthand, and I guess Steve did you see any lepers when you were over there? And that's just one thing. I mean, there's every kind of disease and affliction in the world. There's one woman, I've seen her there through the years, and her whole face has dropped down. Her face is laying down on her chest. And I don't even know what that affliction is. But it's horrible. See, without the Lord God of heaven, now we're just undone here. All right? Now, chapter 5, verse 4 again. One went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver. I don't know how much that is, but it's a lot of money. 6,000 pieces of gold, and that's a lot of money. 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therefore sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now, the king of Syria, he's ignorant as a coal bucket, however ignorant that is. But, you know, people, leaders, they think that they've got everything under control here. And he don't understand. Now, the king of Israel is not going to heal Naaman of his leprosy. Now, in verse 7, it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? It's unheard of. No way in the world. It can't be done. Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. See that? Now, that's the reason of the world. The Lord's concerned about this leper. And these kings, now, they're doing their own thing here. And the king of Syria said, well, he's just seeking, the king of Israel, they're looking for another excuse to invade us. Now, apparently this king is a dunce, along with most world leaders, as far as knowing anything about the Lord. They really are. The Lord is not in their thoughts or in their plans, and they don't seek wisdom from the Lord. They're working all these things out on their own, and we see the mess that the world is in. Now, verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come unto me. Now, this is Elisha. Let him come, send him to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Of course, the king of Israel, he wasn't too enamored with Elisha. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Now, Naaman, that's not what he's expecting. Verse 11, but Naaman was very wroth. He's angry. I mean, he's really upset. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Jordan, of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Now, I don't think if I had leprosy that I would want to get upset at the preacher. But this Naaman here, he still hadn't, the light's not still open, had not opened up to him yet. And now leprosy is a gruesome disease, and like I said, I've seen many in Asia, and I've given them money, I've talked to them, I've prayed over them and everything. What leprosy does to the body illustrates what sin does to the heart and soul. Now, if somehow we could look into a person's heart, what would you see? If you could look into one of these little children in the nursery over here, into their heart, it'd be a blessing to you. I mean, they don't have any evil thoughts. They may be waiting, well, where's my next meal coming from? But there wouldn't be any of this sin and garbage and all this stuff that flows around. But now, let's say that you could go over here to Washington County Jail and say to them, I want to talk to the worst perverted reprobate that you got in this place. Would you want to look into their heart? Suppose they could have, you had some kind of headphones or something that you could plug in your ear and put them on that perverted criminal and everything be trans. Listen, we don't want to know what's going on in their minds. Now, that little child's a different situation. They haven't grown up yet and filled their heart with all this stuff. What leprosy does now to the body illustrates what sin does to the heart and soul. Now, leprosy destroys the body. I mean, it literally rots away. Fingers to fall off, nose, ears, everything falls off. And they end up laying out in the street. Now, this, of course, that's not here in the United States, but in other civilized countries. But most of the world now, that's it. Now, a little slave girl. Now, remember, a little child shall lead them. This little slave girl now in Naaman's house had more sense than all of these characters. She had more sense than Naaman, more sense than the king of Syria, more sense than the king of Israel. I mean, she's got it together here. Would God that he could talk to the prophet in her land. 2 Kings chapter 5 now, verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, we've already read this, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. A little child shall lead them. Now, Elisha told Naaman what to do to be delivered from his disease. 2 Kings chapter 5 now, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And we've already read this. Naaman got really, really upset. He won't even come out and talk to me. Does he understand who I am? That prophet there ought to be out here prostrate before me and begging me for favor. But, of course, Elisha, he had a different view of things. Now, verse 13 here. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? And he would have. How much rather then that he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. A great miracle took place here, but it started with a little slave girl. See, she was the one that was directing what was going on here. Now, how many blessings do we miss because of our ignorance of the Lord and of his word? A whole lot of blessings. How much trouble do we cause ourselves by ignoring the word of God? A whole lot of trouble. How many sicknesses and trouble comes upon us because we don't take these things to the Lord? No telling here. All right? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. We don't. The scientists are not going to help us. The university professors are not going to help us. Our help comes from the Lord. Now we have to understand that. Say, well, I've got such and such an affliction, and the doctors are. They're running tests on me to find out what this and that and what to do, and that's all right. But in the end now, who is going to decide? The Lord. Where will the healing come from? From the Lord. See? So we need to get our attention focused on things above and not on things on this earth. Now it's hard to do that because we're living in this place and all the aggravation and stuff that goes on here and all the sin and wickedness and trouble and woe and all of that. But through it all now, we need to keep our attention focused on the Lord. What are his priorities? What is he interested in? What's he concerned about? Well, we need to tap into that and get on board here now. If we're going to have any peace, or someday we're going to stand before the Lord. You know, there's something called the judgment seat of Christ. And all these, every day is going to come before the Lord. And so we need to get in peace and full harmony and peace now with the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. What would you have me to do? Some of you have been in the military. How do you get along in the military? What's the secret to success in the United States military? You just shut up and do what they tell you to do. If you want to get along now you can argue with them if you want to, but they have a special place for people like that. See, now we learned that lesson pretty quick, didn't we? I learned it from watching the others. There were a lot of draftees and these college graduates and so forth, doctors and lawyers and people there. I was that little 17-year-old ignorant boy. And so some of these fellas now, they back-talked and they got in real bad trouble. And I thought, I don't want that to happen to me. I'm going to keep my mouth shut and just do what they tell me to do. Well, the same thing applies here. We just need to keep our mouth shut and do what the Lord tells us to do. We need to understand now that our intellect is very dim. All of our abilities don't amount to a whole lot. But God has all power, all wisdom, and he has a plan and a purpose for us. So like a little child shall lead them. So we need to have that little child spirit here. What one word best describes the situation in Washington? Arrogance. Deceit. You're going down the line. Have you heard anything coming from the Senate or the House of Representatives or White House that offers any hope for our nation or the world? Not an ounce of anything coming out of those people that offers any hope. Now, any one of us in this Sunday school class can tell them exactly how to solve the mess our nation is suffering from. Get in harmony with the Lord. Hook our little wagon now to his mighty ship here now. There are children in our Sunday school classes that could tell our leaders how to get out of this mess we're in. We've got some spiritually minded young people, some teenagers and preteens and so forth. Now you can go up to primary church someplace up there and you can say to a little child, how can you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? And they said, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Little children. I knew this was a 14-year-old boy. This is up in Indiana. And he was severely afflicted. He had polio or something when he was a child. He couldn't speak a word or did it you could understand. And he just kind of shuffled along, couldn't walk. But he knew the Lord. It was a blessing to me. He was on our bus. They called him Choo Choo. I don't know why they were calling him Choo Choo. That wasn't his name. But I said to him one time, Choo Choo, where are you going to go when you die? And that kid perked up and he started, Jesus. He couldn't say Jesus. He just, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now that little 14-year-old boy, severely handicapped, had more wisdom than all of our leaders. He knew where he was going to go when he died. He was going to go to heaven. And he's probably up there now. So our children here now could tell our leaders how to get out of this mess we're in. The solution to this misery of the peoples of the world can be resolved very easily. 2 Chronicles, turn to that, chapter 7. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. If my people, which are called by my name, now that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's really complicated, isn't it? What's he saying here? Straighten up and fly right. put your sins away, call upon me, humble yourself before me, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The miracle of salvation. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Now, here we are. Without the Lord, now without the Lord, we'd be better off if we had never been born. Without the Lord, we'd die and burn in a lake of fire for eternity. So, best thing could have happened if we'd just never been born. But praise God, we have a hope now. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, folks, we're going to see this someday. We're going to see it someday. In verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. In verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Can't just stop and think now what our heritage is. What's awaiting us here now once we leave this world? Our Jesus might come back today. He might come back before we get out of this Sunday school class. And think about now the future that we have now in Christ. Now, ourselves, there's no hope. But in Christ, we have hope. Now, this world is full of misery. Confusion, an uproar, destruction, discomfort, trouble, tumult. I can't find enough adjectives. Vexation. You can't find enough adjectives to describe it. Now, I'll go back to 2 Chronicles. You don't have to turn back to that. Chapter 15, verse 5. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Now, it's amazing to see what the Lord can do now when his word is applied to our problems and confusion. We're in a mess, the world. But when we take the word of God and get it into our heart and into our mind, Psalm 119:133, order my steps in thy word. What does that mean? It means obey what you read in the Bible here. Our decisions, our behavior, everything about us now are ordered in his word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, we've got to watch this iniquity thing. I mean, the devil can dress it up, and it can look like the most attractive thing that you've ever seen in your life. Satan can convince us that he's got the answer. If we just simply will follow him, we'll be happy and peaceful and everything will be all right. You've got to watch that rascal now. He'll lie to us. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, am I going to order my steps? Yeah, I can if I want to, but it won't work out too well. Because I can't see the future. I can't even remember the past. Somebody will tell me their name 2 minutes later. I couldn't tell you their name if my life depended on it. These old minds now, they don't work too good anymore. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Now, it's not talking about the organ that pumps our blood through here. It's our heart. Our heart's greater than our mind. Our heart, that's where our desires are. And, what are we going to have? Now, the law of his God is in his heart. See, we've got to get the Word of God in our heart. If we do that, none of our steps, his steps, shall slide. Now back to Naaman. We run out of time here. What leprosy does to the physical body? Appendages rot and fall from the body. I mean, the fingers fall off, nose falls off. And I know that's true because I've seen it. The leper becomes a horrible thing to see, and I've seen that too. You just want to close your eyes. You can't. What you want to do is turn around and run, really. What it amounts to, and you're looking now in the face of absolute misery and pain. Sin does this to our mind and our spirit. Time's got away from us here. Sin turns a person into a miserable, wretched creature, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. How come we got all these cemeteries around here? Well, sin was finished. It brought forth death. Naaman was delivered from a miserable end when he obeyed what Elisha told him to do. And praise God, we have been delivered from an eternal misery when we obeyed what the Lord told us to do. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Could anybody say, well, you know, when I trusted the Lord, my life, it just became so hard, and I just can't hardly bear up under all the strain that the Lord's put upon me. When we get saved, listen, I mean, the Lord just, it's like we're buried under a cloud or something or another, and the Lord just lifts that cloud, and the sun, we can see and understand, and everything becomes new. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the transformation that comes about. I trust everyone in here, you have called upon the name of the Lord and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and take you to heaven when you die. If anyone in here has not done that, if you're not sure about it, come and talk to me. There's several people in here that could sit down and take the Word of God and try to help you get through this. But I trust that everyone here now has called upon the name of the Lord and has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, come and talk to me. All right? Heavenly Father, thank you for a good day now. We pray that you bless in the service that follows. Have your way, Lord, now in every one of our hearts. And Lord, lead us now in paths of righteousness, paths of obedience, paths of peace and harmony now in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.